join in the call to worship. The risen Christ lives among us, calling us to be a blessing, calling us to heal and transform the brokenness and the violence of our world. The risen Christ lives among us, calling us all to worship God, calling all people of all ages and stages of life to join their voices in the praise of God. Let us pray. O Lord God, one who rules over all things and all people, we come before you now at this time, Lord, to give you our sincere worship from our hearts, to declare once again that you are our Lord, and to declare that we want to follow you. We want to live our lives in a way that pleases you, and we know part of that is in reaching out to others and showing the love of Jesus. So help us as we seek to do that this day. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture tells us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But how many times are we guilty of that? Oh, I didn't do anything wrong. But Scripture tells us very pointedly, if we feel that way, we are deceiving ourselves. Let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves and with the Lord as we confess our sin using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. God of all mercy and grace, we give you thanks for our Savior Jesus, who has promised to be with us to the end of the age and to provide for all of our needs. But we confess that we have turned away from Jesus even when he was reaching out us to help us. We have forgotten him. We have neglected him. We have chosen to live for ourselves in our own sinful pleasures. But you have not abandoned us, and you still promise to receive us when we turn to you. So help us to repent again, to leave our sins behind, and to fall into your arms and find true joy and forgiveness. Amen. You know what today's date is? April 15th. Good news is they're not due till the 17th, but still, April 15th, that date kind of sticks in my mind. It reminds me of a debt that I owed. Well, one of the words for forgiveness in the New Testament means to release from the payment of a debt. Isn't that good news? To have a debt and be released from that? Well, a debt is real. We owe a debt to God, but Jesus has paid the debt for us so that through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The debt has been paid. It is released from us. Amen. Okay, you see this bag? This is what we're calling a blessing bag. It is packed with all kinds of good things to help someone in need. And we're also including a card in here that tells them what church they're coming from and that we love them, and a Bible verse to help them and encourage them, whatever they might be facing in their life. So this is what we're going to work on together right now. So let me invite the children to come forward now. And then I'm going to invite all the youth to come and help as well. Brian, yeah, that means you. So all the children. Children, I've got a separate job, and youth, I have a separate job for you. Okay, how many of you have some item with you where you're sitting? Okay, all right. Children, youth, I'm going to have you go over there, and Brian and Lois will tell you what to do. Thank you for your help. All right, and I might need some of you to help the children. So you want to give me a few of them? Do you need all of them? I need some of them to help the children go pick up some items. So, okay. All right. First, water or juice box. If you have water or juice box, head down here, walk down the aisle, and you go with them, and pick up any waters or juice box, all of them that you can find. You want, doesn't matter about the color. Here are some, put them in, water or juice box. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Here, those of you don't have buckets, pass those down. Water or juice box? Okay. Yeah, y'all can go ahead and start packing. They're going to go ahead and start making some of the bags from things that we already have. All right, next, not yet, but next is going to be chicken tuna with crackers or peanut butter crackers. So if you got those, just put an offering plate. Yeah. Here. There you go. Take that. And take it over there. Yeah. Water goes right here for now, and then they'll move it. Okay. All right. Everybody get a bucket this time. Not everybody got one last time. All right. Chicken tuna with crackers or peanut butter crackers? Okay, here's your bucket. There you go. All right. Let's hold them for now. Why don't you put them on the front pew over there to stack them up, and then we'll start giving them out later. I think for y'all, if you have anything, it'd be best just to me take everything rather than them coming up each time. So. Thank you. Is that it? I've got some more. Here. Is that it? I would offer some of you to come up and help, but I don't think there's room. So, okay, you ready for the next item? Next item: cereal bar, applesauce cups, or pudding cups. Okay, cereal bar, applesauce cups, or pudding cups. Of course, if every bag is not exactly alike, that's not, you know, the goal is not that. The goal is just to make sure you've got plenty of things in there to help. So if they're not exactly alike, that's okay. Okay. Y'all are doing a great job. Thank you. Tell you what. Give you another, yeah. Just give me the bucket. I'll give you a new bucket. There you go. All right. The next item, wipes, Kleenex, or socks? Wipes, Kleenex, or socks? Okay. All right, for you, the next item, deodorant, hand sanitizer, or chapstick? Deodorant, hand sanitizer, or chapstick? Okay. I've got some empty ones if you want to just put yours down and get a, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're not going to finish. There's not room. Deodorant, hand sanitizer, or chapstick? Thank you very much. You did a great job. Okay, come back. All right. Next thing, toothbrush, toothpaste, floss. Anything to do with teeth? Toothbrush, toothpaste, floss. Thank you. All right. Now, you go sit down over there, and I've got one more thing for you to do. Okay, y'all can do that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Children, I got one more thing for the children to do. Thank you. The next thing is that we've already got some bags made, so I want you pick up one bag and walk out there and raise your hand. If the whole idea of this is not for us to make a bunch of bags and keep them, but to give them away. So we need your help for that. So raise your hand if you'll take a bag. And I want you to take more than one bag, but just one at a time. So walk down there with your bag, hand it to anybody who's raising their hand, then come back and get another bag. Pick up a bag and then hand it to somebody who's raising their hand. Here, why don't you stand right here and let me take a picture. Okay? That be all right? Smile. Thank you. All right, we still got some more bags up here, so pick up another bag and then hand it to anybody. All right, let me let you in on a little secret. I won't say good news and bad news. The good news is you responded so well and gave so much, either in bringing items in advance or some of you gave money for the evangelism committee to shop for you. And we have so many things that we're not going to be able to pack all of them right here, right now. But we will get them packed. We do want to pack as many as we can and give as many of them as we can away today. Now, the ones that we don't get packed and don't give away today, we'll have in the narthex next Sunday for you to pick up. And we'll just continue to put them out there until we have given them all away, okay? Okay, children, youth, you keep working. Children, you come here. Thank you so much. We could not have done this without you. All of you did a great job. I was watching every one of you, and you did a great job. Thank you so much. You want to applaud for them? Okay. Why don't we hold hands? Start off with your hand. Is that okay? You feel okay with that? Okay. All right. We're going to have a prayer. Y'all can keep working, but we're going to pray over here. Okay. Lord, thank you for so many things that we have and that we can share with others. Thank you that you love everybody, not just us. And remind us of that as we share your love, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, there's not going to be a children's church today because we did this today. So you can go back and sit with whoever you were sitting with before you came up. Surprise, surprise. Plan that just for you. All right, if you are making a bag right now, go ahead and finish that, but don't start any new bags, okay? So go ahead, Samantha, are you getting ready to start one? You go on and start one. You'll be the last one, okay? And then when you finish, just put the bag over here. In fact, let's go ahead and take them in the narthex, so you can probably pick up a couple of them. Put them on one of the tables in the narthex so that as people leave today, they can pick them up. Or if you haven't gotten one yet, raise your hand. Then they don't have to go to the narthex. Yeah, raise your hand right now, and they'll give you one right now. Did you see that picture from? Good. I'm glad. Yeah, it was a nice picture. All right, still got some people with their hands up. They'll take a bag. All right, we still got a few more. Now, there's lots of stuff up here, so let me tell you, if you want to come and pack a bag, two bags, three bags, whatever, before you leave today, feel free to come on up and do that. It will be up here this afternoon, so if you're coming for Rise Against Hunger and you want to come and pack a bag before or after, that's fine too, because there's lots of stuff up here, and we do want to give it all away, so... Okay, raise your hand if you will take a bag. We got a couple left. And if you've already taken one, I mean, take another one. All right, we thank the children. I want to thank the youth. Thank you for your help. You see how much is left? It looks like it's the same amount as when we got started almost. So we need to give all. So please come and pack a bag after church or sometime during the day today. I invite you now to look at our scripture lesson as we continue in our study of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, page 1124 in your pew Bible or on your Bible app on your phone. First Peter chapter 4, begin with verse 1. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because those who have suffered in their bodies are done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right. I want you to hold out your hand toward me like this. Everybody, hold out your hand. I'm going to give you a gift, every one of you, okay? This is play acting, but you'll get the idea. I'm going to give you a gift of 1,440 minutes, okay? You just got that in your hand, okay? You can put your hands down now. But that's your gift that I just put into your hands. 1,440 minutes for a day. That's how many minutes there are in a day. Now, every one of you got the same gift. Question is now, what are you going to do with it? And you'll all make different choices what to do with that gift. Some of you might say, choices? I don't get to choose much of what I do with my time between school, if you're in school, or my job, or my family responsibilities, my sleeping, oh yeah, and my eating. There's not much time left over for any, well, maybe so, but still, you make choices to fill up those 1,440 minutes a day. Now, this passage reminds us that we need to take that gift of that time and live it for God's will, not for our will. But what does that look like? Well, let me highlight for you four things in this passage that show us what living for God's will looks like. You see that phrase in verse 2, live for the will of God. Well, what does that look like? Well, there are four ideas in this passage. First, verse 1, we need to live like Jesus. Notice what he says. We need to be like Jesus in his attitude towards suffering. He suffered for us. And also in his attitude towards sin. Notice that those who suffer and have the same attitude as Jesus are done with sin. Have you ever said that about something? I am done. Usually when you say that, you're angry about something. I am just done. Well, we need to be done with sin. I mean, that doesn't mean, of course, that we're not still sinners and we don't still fail, but that needs to be our attitude, that I'm done with sin. I'm done with it. I don't want that to be a part of my life, like Jesus. Then secondly, in verse 3, living for God's will means living not like the past. Now, the past is like all the time that people lived not living according to God's will. Notice how he describes that. See if it sounds familiar. She's not bothering me, Carolyn. She's bothering you, but she's not bothering me. Notice how he describes the past. Debauchery, total lack of self-restraint. Lust, sinful desires of all kinds, including sex, revenge, money, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, abuse of sex and substances, detestable idolatry, believing that other things other than God will fully satisfy me. All those things, he said, are like we lived in the past. But they need to stay in the past. They don't need to characterize our lives right now. Someone told the story one time of one spring, a duck was flying with his friends across Europe, a bunch of wild ducks flying across Europe. One day, this particular duck decided to stop in a barnyard where there were some tame ducks. Oh, and he enjoyed that. He enjoyed their corn, the food that they had, and he stayed there for an hour, and then he stayed there a day, and then he stayed there a month. And before he knew it, he had stayed there all summer long. Well, one autumn day, that same flock of wild ducks with whom he used to fly passed overhead. He heard their cries, you know, the sound the ducks make. He heard their cries overhead, and he was filled with this strange thrill. He wanted to fly with them again, and so he thought about it and started kind of flapping his wings, but he'd gotten so soft and so heavy that he couldn't fly. He couldn't get any higher than the roof of the barn. He couldn't get up there in the sky and join them. And then he thought, oh, well, my life is pretty good down here. I'm safe and well-fed. I'll just stay right here. So every spring and every autumn, he would hear the wild ducks honking above. His eyes would look up in the sky and gleam for just a moment. He'd flap his wings, but that's all he'd do. Finally, the day came when the wild ducks flew above him, and he didn't even pay attention to them. One day, he didn't even hear them at all. That's kind of a parable of how the sinfulness of our past can be for us as Christians. We can get so used to the easy life, the sinful life, the selfish life, that before we know it, we think it's the only way to live. When Christ is calling us to live a different way, to not live according to those desires of the flesh, to not live the way we used to in the past, but to there be a difference in our lives. Then third, in verse 4, living for God's will means not living like the pagans. Now that might not be a word you normally use, but in fact, it might even sound bad to you, but all he's saying is those who live according to the sinful desires, those who are pagans are those who do not live thinking about God's will, and they live according to their sinful desires. So notice their reactions. He says they are surprised that you are not joining them. You know, being a Christian, being fully committed to Christ might mean that you'll lose some friends along the way. They won't understand what you're doing. Now, that doesn't mean that you try to alienate them, but if you truly live according to what Christ, the way Christ is calling you, living for God's will, you might lose some of those friends. And then he says they heap abuse on you. I look at the picture that I put in the bulletin there. You know, there's something bad about being laughed at. There's something about bad. Somebody that I want to like me, laughing at me like that and making fun of me, it hurts. Now, sometimes we think about our youth going through that, and they do, but it's really for all of us. Sometimes other people laugh at us and heap abuse on us because we're Christians, and it hurts. I tell you, that tolerant people, people that claim to be so tolerant, they can be tolerant of lots of things, but they can be so intolerant of Christians. It can really hurt when a friend makes fun of you. But Peter says that's okay. Live according to God's will, even if it means that you lose some friends along the way. And then fourthly, verses 5 and 6, living for God's will means living like I'm going to be judged. Now that doesn't sound like good news, does it? But it's the truth. See, that's the thing. The Bible tells us the truth. God is ready to judge everyone. Notice he says, as we say in the creed, the living and the dead. That's a way of saying everybody. You know, if you take all humanity, you can divide them in either the living or the dead. It includes everyone. And so we're all going to be judged. He says those who are now dead remind us of that, that God is going to judge us. Now, see, it makes a difference when I know that I'm going to be held accountable for something. For example, for those of you who work a job, let's imagine that on your job, your supervisor comes to you and says, now, We would like in the next month to get X amount of production, whatever that is for this particular job. We want to get X amount of production done. But if you don't reach that goal, don't worry. Nobody's going to say anything to you about it. You won't hear another word from me. It won't affect your salary. You'll never hear me mention it again. It's just an idea I'm throwing out. How are workers going to respond? If you don't hold people accountable, left to their own devices, what are they going to do? If you've ever been a supervisor, you know. They're going to kind of get lazy, and they're not going to remember the rules, and they're going to do the things they want to do. That's the way we are as human beings. But these verses remind us, you're going to be held accountable. You're going to be held accountable for the way you live your life. And notice the phrases he uses in these verses. The rest of their earthly lives, you have spent enough time in the past. I will have to give an account even to those who are now dead. I think about people that I have known in my life that are now gone. And what I have learned from it, they have to give an account. I'll have to give an account. But his emphasis is on your short time, the rest of your earthly life. Remember holding out your hands? How many minutes you got in there? 1,440 every day. That's a gift that you have. 1,440 minutes. Now the clock is ticking, and you have a choice to make. That gift in your hand, what are you going to do with it? You can use that time to live for God's will, or you can use that time to live for yourself. What will you choose to do? These verses remind us we need to live like Jesus. And what I'm reminding you of today and on this Mission Sunday is that when you live according to God's will, it means that you're not just thinking of yourself. You know, the ironic thing in life is I think, you know, I want to just be able to have fun. I just want to just enjoy the pleasures, the things that I enjoy in life. And if I just live my life, if I can just, you know, find a place in life, you know, maybe retirement or maybe summer vacation or whatever. If I can just find some place in my life where I can just live for my pleasures, I'll enjoy that. That sounds logical, doesn't it? The Bible comes along and tells us, that's not true. If you just live for what you want to do and what pleases you, you will not ultimately be happy. It might work temporarily, but God says you need to live for my will, and my will includes living for others, giving yourself, not just thinking about what I can get for myself, but giving of yourself to others. Let us pray. Oh Lord, it is a challenge for us to be reminded of these truths, of what it really means to live for God's will, because it is our natural desire to live for ourselves, to do what I want to do. And yet, when we come to faith in Christ, and we seek to follow Christ, and we want to be led by Christ our Lord, we're reminded that we don't live for ourselves and our own pleasures. We live for you. So Lord, help us to be reminded this day of all the changes that we need to continue to make in our lives so that we are not just thinking about ourselves. Because ultimately, that is a dead-end road. Remind us of that, Lord. We thank you for all those who've participated today and brought these items or made it possible that we'd have these items to share. Lord, we pray that you would take these bags. And even in the giving of them away, I pray right now that they would be dedicated to you, that we would hear stories in the next few weeks about people coming back and saying, you know, I didn't even have an idea of what the giving away of this bag would mean to me. I gave it to somebody to try to bless them, but they in turn blessed me in a very special way. So I pray that you'd use every bag for your glory. Pray also, Lord, for those that are in need this day, for those who are facing surgeries or recovering from them, those who have recently lost loved ones. I think especially of the family of Anna Rainey, who just passed away on Friday. Lord, I pray that you'd bring comfort to all of those who are grieving this day, that you'd bring encouragement to those who are discouraged, that you would bring hope to those who are hopeless, all in and through our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. See what the choir is going to sing today? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Every time we take up an offering, it's a reminder that the most important thing in my life really is God's kingdom, God's will, not mine. So let's be reminded of that as we give to God's glory.
First, our kingdom of God.
O Lord our God, all honor and praise belongs to you. So we seek to give it now in these gifts and in what we give you from our hearts. May we take those minutes, those 1,440 minutes that you give us today, and use them for your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That is the excitement of the Christian life, because God can use you anywhere, anytime, when you didn't even expect it or plan it. Take these bags, give them away, give a blessing, you'll get a blessing. Come back and tell us, let me know, write me a note, email me or something. You have some story about how God used that bag to bring a blessing into your life. Be ready, anywhere, anytime. So now as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, now and forevermore.